Chapter 12. Trouble at Home. "Do anything interesting today?" Donna innocently asked her son at dinner that night, while swallowing another piece of her famous roast beef. Robert wasn't sure how to answer.
"Well, speak up, boy," Stan scolded. "Your mother asked you a question."
Robert took a long slug of root beer, clearly stalling for time. It was even obvious to his mom. "Oh, same old, same old," Robert finally lied while carefully slicing his beef with a serrated knife.
"What's that supposed to mean?" Stan asked.
"I hung out with Chris and Rennie after school," Robert answered. "That's why I was late."
Stan clucked his tongue in between munching his corn niblets. "I told you I don't like you hanging out with those losers," he said, pointing his knife at Robert.
If Robert didn't know any better, he would have considered it a threat. "Stan, put the knife down," Donna calmly ordered.
"What?" he asked, feigning surprise with a wicked smirk. "I wasn't going to kill him with it. Just cut him a little."
"Stan!" she shouted.
"Relax, Donna," he said. "It's a joke."
"Well," she began, delicately wiping her bottom lip with a cloth napkin. "It wasn't funny at all." "That's okay," Robert offered. "I'm used to his abuse."
Outside the house, you could hear some children laughing as they passed, a lonely dog howling uselessly at the moon, and even a faint police siren in the distance. But it was quiet as a tomb inside that dining room.
"What did you say?"
Stan asked, breaking the quiet with an incredulous tenor in his voice. Now Robert was really at a loss for words. He glanced toward his mother for a lifeline, but even she seemed to abandon her son. Before Stan could repeat his question, the doorbell rang.
"Saved by the bell,"
Stan huffed, and then rose from the table to answer the door. After he left the table, Donna shot her son a discouraging look.
"What?" Robert asked. "I know your father can be rough around the edges," she began. "But he is your father, and you shouldn't talk to him that way."
"So he can talk to me like trash, but I can't defend myself?"
he asked, as he heard his father open the front door in the adjacent hallway.
"That's not what I'm saying," she said. "Then what are you saying?"
Before she could answer, Robert heard his father's voice rise with concern.
"What's this all about, officers?" Stan asked.
Upon hearing the word officers, Robert felt his heart fall into the ocean of his stomach. Even his mother furrowed her brow in the direction of the front door. Robert was about to retreat to his bedroom when he heard his father yell,
"Robert, get over here now!"
Robert slowly did as he was told, and although his home's foyer was next to the dining room, he felt like he were walking the green mile to the electric chair. Entering the hallway that led to the door, he recognized the two men in the entranceway immediately, even with his father's hulking frame partially obscuring the view. They were the two school guards who had chased him and his friends that afternoon. His father spun around in Robert's direction and asked sarcastically,
"Do these gentlemen look familiar to you?"
Robert decided to play dumb.
"I've never seen them before in my life."
"All right, Robert," the taller guard began, calling his bluff. "Where is it?"
"Where's what?"
Robert asked. With one hand still holding the door open, Stan clenched his left fist by his side.
"Robert," he started, "you may be dumb, but you're not that dumb."
"The turbocharger," the smaller guard explained, finally speaking up. "The one you stole? Where is it?"
Robert was defiant.
"I didn't steal anything," he rebuked.
In a way, it wasn't far from the truth. Robert reasoned to himself. Since the charger rightfully belonged to its owner and inventor, his brother. Now Donna was standing directly behind Robert, almost like a prizefighter's trainer in the boxing ring.
"If he says it wasn't him, I believe him," she said. "Maybe it was his friends, Chris and Rennie."
Just like his father, Donna had never trusted them. Stan looked Robert straight in the eyes, giving him one last chance to redeem himself.
"Robert, answer the men. Did you take the turbocharger or not?"
Robert planted his feet firmly to the floor, as if they were rooted to the linoleum itself.
"I didn't," he said. "I'm not lying."
"Well, you know what doesn't lie?"
A familiar voice floated almost musically over the shoulders of the two guards.
"A photograph."
Instantly, Dr. Howard appeared out of the shadows with a Polaroid picture in his hand.
A white gauzy bandage was wrapped around his left cheek where the electric flypaper had struck him earlier that day. Robert noticed it immediately, and he anxiously wondered how long it would take his father to be curious about it.
"The name is Dr. Forrest Howard, Robert's technology teacher," he introduced himself, extending his arm to shake hands with Stan.
"I remember," Stan replied.
Glancing at his hand after Dr. Howard released it, he realized he had slipped him the photograph like a mobster bribing a corrupt cop. As he gazed at the picture, Stan shook his head in disgust. Needing proof herself, Donna snatched the photo from his hand. As it passed between his father and mother, Robert could clearly see the moment from his adventurous afternoon that was frozen in time. Robert, with Rinnie seated behind him, was riding away from the school on his bike, his backpack partially open, and exposing the infamous turbocharger. Robert was actually impressed at the level of detail in the photo. Almost as if he were reading Robert's mind, Dr. Howard made a formal announcement in his typically grandiloquent fashion.
"A spy camera that can produce Polaroid quality pictures," he proudly informed the small group,
explaining something that no one had wondered about aloud.
"One of my handy new inventions."
Stan's eyes turned to Dr. Howard's face, finally noticing the white bandage on the teacher's left cheek.
"What happened to your face, doctor?" he asked.
Robert audibly gulped like he was Wile E. Coyote about to plummet off a cliff.
"Oh, I slipped and fell in my bathroom,"
Dr. Howard tersely replied, brushing the question away like an annoying gnat. Grateful but confused as to why he was covering for him, Robert decided to worry about it later. Right now, there were more pressing matters to attend to, like the fact that his teacher was accusing him of theft in front of his two mortified parents. Before Robert could surmise a reason for Dr. Howard's deceit, his teacher changed the subject by turning to him and announcing, practically in villainous triumph,
"My dear Mr. Kin, did you really think you could outrun someone who had your home address on file at school?"
Robert stuttered, but then simply surrendered. Even he knew there was no talking his way out of this one. Unfortunately, his teacher was right. Pictures don't lie.
"Oh, Robert, how could you?"
Donna asked, the layer of betrayal rich in her voice. Meanwhile, it took all of Stan's energy not to slap his son in front of everyone right then and there, as his father before him used to call it, doling out a little corporal punishment.
"I'm sorry, Mom," he apologized,
a tear forming in the corner of his eye. His mother's face fell, filled simultaneously with disappointment and empathy. Robert could see his mother's eyes wrestle with the contradictory emotions. His father was far less sympathetic.
"I'll deal with you later, son," he began, his voice trembling in anger. "But right now, just give the charger back to your teacher before he recommends expelling you."
"I don't have it anymore," Robert lied again. "I sold it."
"So soon?"
Dr. Howard suspiciously asked, clearly unconvinced.
"Well, yeah,"
Robert replied in a confrontational tone, as if he were saying, "Duh. Why do you think we were riding away so fast?"
"I had to meet with my fence."
Fence was a term Robert had only learned the week before on one of his favorite TV programs, Hill Street Blues.
"How much?"
the doctor asked.
"About $100, he replied, spitting out yet another lie.
Dr. Howard blanched.
"The charger was worth at least twice that,"
he said, astonished.
"I don't have $200,
Robert admitted. Just then, as if coming to his rescue, Stan sighed exhaustedly.
"No," he began, "but I do. Let me get my checkbook."
After Robert's father exited the foyer toward his man cave upstairs, Dr. Howard gave a stern look to Robert's mother, as if she were Robert himself in class.
"You know, Mrs. Kin," he began, "I believe juvenile criminal behavior such as this normally starts from the home. Have you noticed Robert acting out recently?"
Donna stitched her eyebrows together.
"Frankly, Mr. Howard," she began.
"Doctor,"
he corrected her.
"Mr. Howard," she continued, unfazed, "I don't believe that's any of your concern."
"When a student makes off with one of my prized possessions,"
he countered,
"I make it my concern."
"It's not your prized possession,"
Robert mocked, using air quotes on his last two words. "My brother Danny invented that charger, and you know it. You just swiped it because you couldn't stand the fact someone less than half your age invented something that actually works."
"Robert!"
Donna snapped, her face flushing red with embarrassment. Ignoring the insult, Dr. Howard calmly explained,
"Your brother's charger was donated to me upon his bike's destruction on Danger Peak.
What? Robert asked, taken aback. That's not true.
It is true, Robert, Stan refuted, returning downstairs with a check in hand. Once Danny's bike was destroyed, we wanted nothing to do with the evidence. I didn't want to look at those pieces, even the mostly intact ones, for one more second. I wanted them as far away from here as possible. They only brought us bad memories.
Blinking back tears, Stan then gestured toward the teacher.
Dr. Howard here expressed interest in studying the turbocharger for scientific purposes, and we donated it.
Robert shot his teacher another dirty look. Again, Dr. Howard ignored it, or at least pretended not to notice.
Wait,
Robert began, confused as ever. Let me get this straight. Danny made the turbocharger. It was destroyed at Danger Peak, and you donated it to Dr. Howard?
We didn't want you following in your brother's footsteps,
Donna offered, her voice heavy with emotion.
Then I stole it back,
Robert continued, pacing back and forth as if he were Columbo trying to solve a labyrinthine logic puzzle,
and now you're paying him for it?
I was able to repair the damage after the boulder's collision that struck down your brother,
Dr. Howard explained, a little too matter-of-factly.
Besides, I added a few modifications to his design, which cost me a pretty penny, I must say.
This should cover it, Stan said, handing him the check.
Dr. Howard peered down at the offering with a pleased grin.
Indeed it does.
Well then, Stan began,
intending to conclude the awkward evening as quickly as possible.
If there's nothing else.
The doctor turned to the two security guards. For a moment, Robert had forgotten they were even there.
We're done here,
he snapped, as if addressing his lapdogs.
Wait for me in the car.
They nodded, and after exchanging some brief pleasantries with Robert's parents, left the porch.
As I was explaining to your wife, Donna, he told Stan, criminal behavior normally begins in the home. I'd keep an eye on your son if I were you.
Stan walked up to the teacher and stood nose to nose with him.
I'll discipline my son the way I want to, thank you very much, he began. And don't ever speak to my wife like that again, do you understand?
The tables turned. Dr. Howard began to sweat and fidget in place.
You've got your money, Stan continued firmly. Now leave me and my family alone.
Yes, well,
a flustered Dr. Howard said, adjusting his bow tie.
Good day, night, to you.
Goodbye, Stan said, and then promptly closed the door in his face with a resounding thud.
For a second, since they seemed to share the same enemy, Robert thought he might get away with the whole affair. Until he saw his father's face turn toward him.
You're in a world of trouble, Robert, he loudly announced. Neither of us is a fan of that pompous teacher of yours, but stealing is stealing, no matter who it's from.
Still, there was a slight hint of sympathy just behind his tired eyes, though Robert reasoned it could just be the lingering memory of his brother. Robert decided to use Danny's memory to his advantage.
How could it be stealing if Danny made it?
He asked. He thought it was a reasonable question. Apparently, he was wrong.
I'm not explaining myself again, Stan angrily retorted. Up to your room, now. No more supper for you.
Fine,
a surly Robert answered as he retreated to his bedroom.
I don't like roast beef anyway.
Boy, you're gonna get it,
Stan hollered after his son as he stalked up the stairs. Robert was going to respond in kind, but thought better of it, and simply closed his bedroom door behind him. It had been a long day, after all.